Reading for the Epiphany of our Lord is written in Isaiah chapter 60. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you, and nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together and come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be carried on the hip. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and exult, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah, and all those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense, and shall bring good news, the praises of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is written in Ephesians chapter 3. For this reason I, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was made known to the sons, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel, I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the second chapter. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, the old Magi from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the Magi secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense,
sermon for the Epiphany of our Lord is based on the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the second chapter. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him, and assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophets, and you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. And in verse 11, and going into the house, the Magi saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. That's one of the texts. Today, you observe the beginning of the Epiphany season. There needs to be a reminder, though, of what Epiphany is all about. Why? Because it tends to be held as just that season that comes after Christmas. But the importance of Epiphany reveals why Christmas can even be celebrated to begin with. This is the great part of the church year, which takes you from God coming and being born in your flesh, Christmas, to God being recognized as God in your flesh, Epiphany, to why God has come and what He has come to do for you, Lent, Easter, Ascension, to how He continues to take care of you by sending His Holy Spirit, Pentecost, and having His holy apostles pen His holy word and spread His powerful word throughout the world, the Trinity season. So it's the beginning of the rest of the life in Christ. The account found in the gospel text for today not only answers the question, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews, thus giving you your epiphany, it also answers the similar question put forth by many in society today. Where in the world is God? So this has to be asked. Is God really the one who is lost? And man is searching for Him? Or is God coming to man to save that which was lost to Him? Was there a search going on by the Magi back then? Or was it a gathering of God toward an epiphany? The Magi who came from the East are sometimes called wise men, but their so-called wisdom isn't all that it's cracked up to be. In their wisdom, they draw the conclusion that this new king would have to be found in the great city of Jerusalem. Certainly a king would be surrounded by luxury and guards to keep him safe. Certainly this king would display his majesty and dominion over the people in a mighty way. They were looking for all the right stuff that would make sense to their reason. They were relying upon what's known as the theology of glory, a very unwise theology. And sadly, your flesh and your reason is enticed to do the same thing. You are as they. You fall victim to your fallen reason. You look for God in all the exalted things. You would like to think that God makes Himself known through nothing but the good times. For some today, the unwise search for God continues, because it's no longer a search for the one who is born King of the Jews. God's word of grace alone being sufficient. Today, other words are turned to. Words from self-help and prosperity books, words from profane television shows or movies, words from lucrative or even emotionally moving music. The search goes on, all right, but it's all about you. The worldly words, along with your fleshly reason and the devil's enticements, all bring you to look elsewhere for fulfillment, for the epiphany in life. And as long as you are getting satisfied, as long as things are working out for your good, then God is verified by you. By the grace of God, repent. Never are these to be the foundation of God's existence. In this subjective postmodern, it's all about me and my wisdom and my getting what I want age. The enticement to turn and be led in this unwise direction of glory for a foundation and certainty of God's grace should not be underestimated. By the grace of God, repent. And as Luther strong stating, let God alone be wise. Scripture reveals a different foundation for the certainty of God's love toward you, and it's truly the only proper definition of it. For this foundation that God establishes will never change, no matter what the circumstances. God's love can only be certified through and founded upon the person and work of Jesus Christ for you, for the forgiveness of your sins. That is Christianity. Here is God working in ways that confound your reason. This is known as the theology of the cross, and it's best explained as God hiding himself in contrasts. Why contrasts? Why a theology of the cross? So that it removes your ability to boast in your wisdom and keeps the whole plan of salvation reliant upon God's ways, so that salvation stays reliant upon faith, repentant belief that he creates through his contrasting ways, because he's the only one who can and does create and sustain belief through those ways. The contrasts were revealed back then. King Herod gathered the chief priests and scribes to find out where the Christ would be born. The search was on. How was God going to make himself known in a mighty way? Their fallen reason and yours to you wrapped in lowly swaddling cloths, not robed in extravagant fine linen. This is where they were led, and you are as they. You are led as well to lowly means that don't seem like they're full of majesty and glory. A mundane liturgy, inanity, the whole ministry of word and sacrament through a divine service seems so uneventful. They seem to have this large, boring void. So some are easily enticed away to search elsewhere, getting caught up in material things, listening to reason preach the unwise theology of glory. It makes more sense that God would make himself known through the brand new things in your life. Fallen reason is enticed to turn to these means as more fulfilling. These are more easily thought of as reflecting God's grace toward you. The new home, the new car, the new job, the new child, and the second chance at life. And don't get me wrong, these are all well and good, and they can be blessings. But are they absolute? Are these to be trusted as revealing God's grace toward you? What about when they're taken away? Is God's grace gone as well? Is God not a gracious God anymore? In reliance upon these unstable means, reliance upon the unwise theology of glory, the certainty of God would have to come into question. Even if emotional highs are experienced, you live in a fallen, broken world that contains mostly suffering. The new things will get old and bring trouble. And when these happen, most people are inclined to say that God has abandoned them. People that follow the unwise theology of glory will base their foundation of God's love toward them on their circumstances. Always changing circumstances. And when those things that they treasured are not what they seem to be, or they're taken away, their foundation of glory is gone as well, right along with God's grace. Don't fall for this enticement. God's word gives you the true foundation, just as it gave it to the Magi at Herod's time. God's word gives to you his ways, God's theology of the cross, God's unchanging love toward you coming through contrasts, God choosing to hide himself in lonely things, like humiliating himself by taking on lowly human flesh, by being found in a house, not a luxurious king's palace. God, in his glory, while hanging on a cross, beaten and bloody, being mocked, spit at, and made fun of, dying to bring about life. This is God conquering contrasts. This is God making it so that when you are weak in your sinful flesh, you are strong by faith in Christ alone. Contrasts. Lowly things like letters on a page that make up holy words. These are the power of God. Contrasts. baptism. This is how God chooses to come and grasp you. Contrast. God's holy word is speaking you righteous by simply being spoken. Contrast. God's holy creating, life-giving word spoken over bread and wine. This is how God continues to come to be with you in his forgiving flesh, always unto the very end of the age. Contrast. God's lowly ways of bringing forgiveness. God hiding himself in contrast to reveal himself, to epiphany himself. This is the theology of the cross, and it brings forgiveness, life, and salvation, for it creates and sustains faith, belief in things unseen. The Magi in text didn't just set out on their own in search of a random God who was out there somewhere because they were wise enough to find him. They were drawn to him by way of a star. That light was a beacon to them. It directed and guided them to hear God's word proclaim his confounding ways, which then guided them to the Son of God and the Son of Mary. This is how God works. The Word of God is that star for you. The Word shines forth its proclamation of the gospel and draws people to Jesus. When you get up on Sunday mornings or during midweek evenings of Advent, Lent, and Holy Week, may you not think that you are going to church because you are wise enough. As if simple, smart attendance is what gets you into heaven or earns God's favor. It's the Holy Spirit working through the Word, gathering you in by the light of Christ, the star of God's Word, leading you to Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. God is the one who finds you who were lost sinners. Christ is the world's epiphany, whether it wants them or not. He has come. You are drawn, as they, to worship him, receiving him who